Blog Talk Radio.
I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you, I'm not a capitalist, and I'm not a communist, I'm not a socialist, I'm not a politician. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human. And haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Yes, I am a child like her. And when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a lie. I'm not a soldier. I'm not a jihadist. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a what, I am a who, I'm not black, and I'm not white, tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human, haven't I suffered for so long, still the reason for hope. I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human, and I have been suffering for too long. Till the reasons for hope keep on holding on. I am a human.
Beautiful song, meaningful and poignant. And my name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show, a show designed to give you an in-depth study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Also, that in-depth study applies to his people also. You will find that in our most recent studies in Vayikra. Some of you like to call it Leviticus. That is not the correct name, but we like to make everything correct. The name is spelled V-A-Y-I-K-R-A. And it means Yah is calling out. And he's not simply calling out for you to feel good about yourself. He's calling out for you to get instructions. See, some people, even on our common day-to-day operational jobs, SOPs, we think we can go into these jobs and do what we want to do and how we want to do and when we want to do it. I can tell you that's not going to suffice. You'll be in another employment line. And the same things applies to the Most High. Just like some of you go to these jobs and you want to do what you want to do. Don't think you can get with Yah and do what you want to do. The job that you are eligible for being a Hebrew Israelite is a serious job. It takes close attention to detail. It takes a love for the Most High and a love for yourselves and your people. That's why we said, when we said, my fellow students and I, student teachers, Sister Avia from New York City and Brother Cartier from New York City. That's why we say we love the Most High with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Meaning, not only we love him, we pay attention to details. Along with that, our brothers and sisters, as I said, is because you had to first love yourself before you can love anyone else. Even in a contemporary relationship, be that child, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, your kinfolks. The Most High said you got to show some love to get some love. But if you're not showing any love, especially into the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, you can stop all the lip service. If you're not showing any love to your wife or husband or your children and vice versa, you can forget all that love stuff. Love is not simply conversation. Love is actions. It's the period on every sentence. So that's why we feel it imperative that you get these fundamentals right. Because fundamentals are needed in our nation. Because as I speak, we are a monstrosity and we are a hot mess. The only way you can reverse engineer the monstrosity and hot mess is reverse and course correct. And that reverse is by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, letting his footstep be your pathways and stop leaning to your own understanding. And course correct. That's the only way you're going to get somebody. Yeah. And don't think he's going to hear you if you're bent on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Yah said, I'm not going to even hear you. So if you've been on doing, you're not going to receive any results. Bottom line. So if you want to receive some results from the Elohim, you must show that you're putting in the work as far as your actions are concerned. And meaningfully, in this regard, crying out to the Most High for our anxious, for the mistakes they made that got us in the situation we find ourselves in, this monstrosity and hot mess. Crying out and course correct on our own actions. And as I said, letting the Most High footstep be your pathways. And gathering ourselves together, not necessarily in the same confinement space, but our ideology, the Most High footstep being our pathways. But that doesn't necessitate the fact you can't get together. You can't. But unfortunately, because we are a monstrosity and a hot mess, I would strongly advise, unless Yah is at the head of that getting together, don't. Because doing that get-together, it often leads, because we are monstrosity, to some blue and white lights and some fluttering of some yellow tape. Unless Yah is in the equation, I would strongly advise you not to. Now, if Yah's in the equation, by all means. And we feel that it's imperative to get these fundamentals right. And that's why Yah is calling to our angels and by your creek. Think about that. He's calling to instruct us because we need instructions. And as a matter of fact, we need much more instruction than we ever needed, I suspect, based upon our studies. It's true. So bless Yah, praise Yah, and may the Most High bless you too. So let's get these fundamentals right. Let's course correct. Let's let together the Most High footstep be our pathway and stop leaning to our own understanding. And the we that I made reference to, Sir Savvy of New York City, Brother Cartrell of New York City, I just told you, they love the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves. And they believe in course correction. We hope that you do too. And stop doing things on a helter-skelter manner. And stop leaning to your own understanding. It's not cute. And surely it's not working for you. You're only lying to yourselves and one another. So stop it. Let's get it correct. And let's make the right applications as our ancients came to Yah to get some correction. And he would give us the same matter of correction also. And we only stop leaning to our own understanding. So let me bring them on for you. Sister Abby of New York City. May the Most High bless you, sister. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. Oh, praises and glory to Yah. You said a mouthful, brother. Also, I just wanted to add about the love.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, you have to give Yah the love first. Because
exactly.
Without him, we would not have no type of love. He gave you your family, your children, your wife, your husband, and so
right.
on and so forth. Without Yah, we are nothing. There is nothing. So give Yah the love first and then spread the rest around.
You
and
get
it's
no
good
beef
to be back, brother.
It's good to have you back. And you get no beef with me. I totally agree with you. Praise Yah. Good to have you back. Praise Yah. Now, Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. Bless Yah, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Good to hear your voices. Nice to hear you, Sister Abby Yah. And
oh,
like she said, you said a mouthful.
She did.
Brother Yah Sufari.
Thank you very much, brother. We're grateful. May he bless you too, Cottrell.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
We
and you made me think of my father.
Right.
Who was my greatest teacher.
Right.
And he always would tell me, Bang, don't take what I say for it. Research it yourself.
Exactly.
And my greatest teacher, he told me, you know, don't believe and trust what he said. We have to find it out for ourselves. And not that this is an individual battle, because Yah is calling for us to gather ourselves as a nation. And that's how we have to start thinking.
Exactly.
Like we are a nation, an ethnic body, an ethnic people. And though we're scattered, we should use every effort to try to bring our skills, our resources, and our talents together. And that's what other people do, right?
Exactly.
Chinese got Chinatown. Italians got Little Italy. Talk about the Dominicans in New York and the Puerto Ricans in New York. Nations stick together.
Exactly.
We have to learn how to do that because we are
exactly.
a nation. We have to learn how to do that. Work and function as a nation, not as individuals, because that's how we remain oppressed. We fight individual battles rather than a national battle. So united we stand, divided we fall. So we see every opportunity to unite ourselves and work together and build this nation. All praise.
All praise. Cottrell, you said, Sister Avion, I said a mouthful. Brother, you certainly did too. That's why we work together like three peas in a pod. The Most High made mention that. Two is better than one and three is better than all of them. Praise Yah.
So imagine if we were together with each other all day. We're here together
exactly.
for an hour. We're trying to sharpen each other. No, we need to be together regularly. So iron sharpens iron.
Keep each other on point, Cottrell. You're certainly correct, brother. We need each
yes,
other.
Sir.
Nobody else going to keep us on point. But those that are on point is the ones going to try to keep you on point. Those that are out there, just out there, they ain't got nothing to point you at. They just doing whatever. That ain't pointing you in the right direction. That's not going to... have your soul restored for the Most High name's sake. It's not going to make you a better man, a woman, a child within the confines of your nation. It's doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and things that's going to survive. Look at us. If that's how we're going to survive, just take a look at our so-called communities. We call them hoods. Check them out. Say no more. All right, Cottrell.
Well, that's how they pick us off one by one. And we wind up in the prison industrial complex.
Exactly. Because
we're not united. We don't work together. And every man is for himself.
That's the problem. Therein lies the dilemma, Cottrell. And it's not that deep. We just stiff-necked and stubborn. Cottrell?
Oh, it's deep
yeah.
because it's ingrained in us, and our enemies are taking advantage of us.
Mm-hmm.
It accentuates that individuality. Why can't we come together? Why can't we sit down and reason? Why can't we build? Why can't we plant? Why can't we design something for the future of our children?
Exactly. And you certainly course corrected, Katria. Why can't we? There's no reason why we can't. We are our own worst enemy, Katria. We always have been. And if we don't listen to Yah, we go always will be. It's just that simple, my brother.
There's no always in that, because there doesn't come an end to that. Y'all going to shut all that down.
Exactly.
You ain't hearing in the book of life, so you're not a part of his program.
Exactly. And we need to get with the program, Katria. I'm glad you said that, brother. All right, Katria. Praise y'all. So, Stavia, our fellow students, I turned to chapter 14 of Bah, your creek. I spent it for you. As Katria says, study yourself. You think we're lying. But you call it Leviticus. That is not the correct name of this book. Chapter 14. For cleansing, heal lepers. There's a continuation process in this healing. Yah spoke to Moses, the spiritual side. We did the physical side, law concerning the garments and whatnot. Now we're moseying on over to the spiritual connection. Then Yah spoke to Moses.
And y'all too.
Yes, my brother.
You just hit the nail right on the head.
Well, it's
because
true,
modern medicine, modern pharmaceuticals, doctors that we run to, they don't have the spiritual side.
No.
And the spiritual side is really, really deep because it's connected with the Most High. And unfortunately, we don't see the priest in Christianity or Islam healing the people in a spiritual way.
Right.
But our nation, the priests, that's the first order of business for them. Right?
Exactly.
To cure diseases and invoke the spiritual side.
Exactly. Open up that communication.
Maybe coronavirus would have been shut down had the nations of the world prayed and fasted to the Most High. But they don't do that. They depend on the pharmaceuticals and vaccinations and things of that nature. They depend on their science. Maybe if they said a prayer, Yah would have shut the plague down.
Exactly. And
at no point in time, when millions of people were dying, did they call for a day of mourning. At no point in time during the whole pandemic.
They didn't. And their pharmaceuticals, killing mechanics, it causes 18 more problems. So how is that healing you when the medicines that they give you per se, these pharmaceuticals, cause you several more problems? I don't see that as healing, country. Okay.
And the pharmaceuticals don't call them priests, do they?
No, they don't.
Okay.
They call them financial planners. Thank you, Katria, my brother.
It's all about the money.
All about the peace.
It ain't about the healing.
No.
Yeah, it's all about the money. It ain't about the healing. It's all about the money.
Yeah, it's all about the Benjamins. And I ain't talking about our tribe, the small tribe, either. Thank you, Katria.
But I'm going to let you know this, Johnson. If you're spiritually connected with the Most High, he will guard you against every disease that's out there.
I believe it, Katria. I wholeheartedly
believe. No question.
Praise Yah.
No question.
Thank you, Katria. Thank you, fellow students. Thank you, Sister Abiyah. And most importantly, thank you, Yah. Bless and praise your holy name. When Yah spoke to Moses, chapter 14, saying, this could be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He should be brought to the priest. The priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed from this individual two living and clean birds. You can't bring any kind. You can't bring hawks or, you know, those vultures and whatnot. You got to take clean animals. And along with that, who is to be here, two living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, dip them in the living bird and the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Specification. He shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and then shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. The living bird will go free. I guess
that's similar.
Yeah.
Free
from the disease, Katrina. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the Azaza.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yom Kippur, when we made atonement for the nation,
right,
we had to choose two goats, one for a burnt offering and one for Azazel.
Right.
And you offered the burnt offering on the altar, and the Azazel went free.
Went free. Just like this second bird went free, running open in the field, got away. He who is to be cleansed, then shall wash his or her clothes, shave off all of his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp, and it's not done yet. He shall stay outside of his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair off his head, his beard, even his eyebrows, all his hair, he shall shave off. Even making reference to all of his hair, all mean all, even pubic hair. Even he got hairy legs, hairy chest, all means all. That's to stop the disease from progressing and keep the spiritual connection together. Because
hair in your armpits.
Yeah, hair in your armpits. That goes for you, sisters, too. May not be talking about a beard, but you got hair on your head. You got that pretty hair, you got to let that go. It's true.
So,
yes, brother.
There's brothers out here who don't know the law, who don't study and don't read, and they say that shaving is unlawful.
That's the time and place for everything, Contra. We read that.
Exactly.
So if they
the law said that we can't shave, this would not apply, right?
Yes.
They had to shave everything. Even their eyebrows. Who shaves their eyebrows?
Everything, bro.
Yes, sir.
Everything means everything.
Shaving, not necessarily for beauty's sake, had to be done. And this is not the only occasion when you had to shave.
Right.
So when you hear brothers out there talking about, man, not supposed to shave his beard and all that, ask them, what if he has leprosy?
Right. It's true. So that's why we implore people to study, Katrina, that they won't be so simple-minded.
Think and believe.
Right. You know, they can believe. I mean, as Katria alluded to previously before we just got started in this chapter, don't believe what Katria and me said. If you can study, you ain't stupid. You can pick up on what Yah says. But if you stupid and you don't study, well, what can I say? Praise Yah, Katria.
Yep. Yeah. That was counsel my father gave me, and I take it to this day.
Exactly.
You can tell me something, but I'm going to research it for myself.
You and I both, brother. You and I both.
Yes,
and so they should. And so we all should, Katria. Thank you, Katria. We said on the eighth day after this process, he should take, as a continuation, he should take two male lambs without blemish, one a ewe, not me, not you, Yom Suf, a ewe is a female sheep of the first year without blemish. 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. Then the priest who makes them clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, or woman, and those things before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall take 1 male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and a log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Elohim. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place, for as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy.
So.
Yes, brother.
You notice that when we were reading about the offerings before, the person that brought the offering up had to kill the offering, right?
Exactly.
In this case, no. The priest is killing the offering.
Exactly.
For this leprous person.
That's
and it's
difference.
Almost the same process that the priest went through. It's
exactly.
Almost exactly the same process to be cleansed from leprosy that the priest went through.
A spiritual cleansing.
Yes,
you're right,
sir.
God. You're right, my brother. Thank you. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him or her who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right or her right hand, and on the big toe of his or her right foot. The priest shall take some of the log of oil, but this, y'all, mind you now, this oil is not that oil that the priest and the king is sprinkled with. See, a lot of y'all, because of being stupid, you see something and you jump right on it. You don't read the detail. Oh, a leper, he was anointed with oil. He ain't said nothing about knowing nothing. And then it said nothing about that oil that the priest and the king was anointed with. Bear with me. Let's get it.
It's a very similar process, right? The right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe.
Right.
That's what the priest went through.
Right. But see, they're not the king, and they're not the high priest or the priest. And there's differences. There's similarities, but there's poignant differences. Thank you, Katria. And he took a log of oil, not the anointing oil, and poured it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his fingers several times before Yah. Now the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him or her who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put it on the head of him or her who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before Yah. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterwards, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Now, if you ain't got it like that, you're not a wealthy individual. Yah always look out for his people. But if he is poor, or she, and cannot afford it, he should take 1 male lamb as a trespass offering to be weighed to make atonement for him. 1/10 of an ephah of fine oil mixed with oil, fine flour, as a grain offering, a log of oil. 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. 1 should be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering of these 2 clean birds. He shall bring them to the priest on the 8th day for his cleansing, his continual process. to the door of the tabernacle meeting before Yah. The priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before Yah. Then he shall kill the lamb, the priest, of the trespass offering. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him or her who is to be cleansed, on the right thumb of his or her right hand, on the big toe of his or her right foot. And the priest shall pour some of the oil in the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before Yah. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in his hand on the tip of the right ear of him or her who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, on the big toe of his right foot or her right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put it on the head of him or her who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before Yah. He shall bring, offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, these clean birds, such as he or she can afford, such as he or she is able to afford. The one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering, with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before Yah. This is the law for one. Okay, go ahead, Katria.
I mean to interrupt you, but
no problem.
In this law, for the poor, both birds are slain, one for sin and one for burnt offering. But
exactly,
the fact that the person who is able to afford it can bring two birds plus the lambs that are required, one
right
of the birds go free.
Right. Big difference. That's why people should study for themselves. So right, Kajio, because we need to get these details correct.
Very specific.
Very specific. Thank you, Kajio. This is the law for one who had a leprous sore, who cannot afford the usual cleansing. Okay. Yah is not only concerned about our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies. He's concerned about the homes we live into. He knows homes can have diseases in them. He knows about that. As a matter of fact, he made reference to sending the plagues against the Canaanites. And you happen to be moving into one, you took ownership of that home. Sometimes you had to cleanse that home. The home can make you sick. Yah spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leper's prey in a house in the land of your possession. I did that. Get them out of there. And any one of us who finds ourselves owns the house, comes and tell the priest in, it seems to me there is some plague in the house. That house ain't right. Stuff growing all over the wall. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house. Take everything out, your bodies and everything, because, you know, you could have contact with plagues and cause some others to be plagued. So the priest goes in to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean as a result of this plague in the house. After the priest shall go in to examine the house, he shall examine the plague. Indeed, if the plague, any tells you what this plague looked like. And he says, if the plague is on the wall of the house with ingrained streaks into the mortar and the bricks, and is greenish or reddish in color, which is to be deep or saturated in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house like quarantine 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. Indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take the stones that are infected, in which is the plague. They shall cast them into an unclean place outside of this, take them all the way out of the city. Don't put them in your backyard. Don't put them in your front. Don't put them in your field. Take them all the way out of the city. And then, furthermore, the preacher caused the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off, I mean, that's just like mold. they should pour out in an unclean place. Nobody is connected with this outside the city. Then they should take other stones, replace the stones, put them in place of those stones, and you should take other mortar. You should remortar and plaster the house. Man, we had some skills back then, Cartier. Mortar and plaster house. They would have you think we were. They would have you think we were living in caves.
Exactly, especially when they show movies of ancient Israel.
Yeah, but we know how to use mortar, and we knew how to plaster homes, Cartier.
And it shows like a type of hazmat approach to plagues in the house.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, Katja, I work with a hazmat crew, so I know what they're talking about.
So you should be familiar with what y'all talking about right here.
Exactly.
You got to take that part of the property out.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the camp that we had asbestos on the pipes.
Right.
And we have to have that removed.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to send hazmat specialists in to do it because it's like a plague. If you let the dust loose, you can't see the progress, but you breathe them in and they cause cancer.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Cartier.
Praise Yah.
Now, Yah says, Cartier. Now, if a plague comes back and breaks out in the house, after you have taken away the stones, you did your hazmat duties, after you have scraped the house, and after it's plastered, then the priest should come and look indeed of the plague has spread in the house. It is an active leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And you have a fine analysis. He should break down the house, tear the house down. It's stones, it's timber, all the plaster of the house. He should carry them outside of the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. He who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes. He who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. This is a contaminant. But if a priest comes in and examines the house, indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean. Because obviously Yah has healed the plague. The plague is healed.
And Yah also.
Yes, brother.
Said you work hazmat, and you know that you can't come out of the area that you worked in without taking those clothes off and doing what?
You got to get washed off. You got to go in that water. You got to hit that water.
So,
and you got to throw those clothes you had on in a plastic bag, and you got to throw them away.
So you talking about ancient times? They had that knowledge. Like you can't even come out of that place with the clothes you went in there on. You got to wash those clothes, wash yourself, because you will spread it if you go out of that place.
Exactly.
It's like mold, with hazmat and asbestos.
Same thing, Katya.
Same thing.
And when you paint over something like mold or something like that, and it, y'all show you, and it come back through, you got to tear all that stuff out of there. You know what I mean? If it seeps right back through the plaster, the house is unclean. Praise Yah. And you can get contaminated as a result. Praise Yah. And he says,
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. He should break down the house. His stones, his timber, all the plaster of the house. He should carry them outside the city to an unclean place where ain't nobody hanging out. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all, while it is shut up, shall be unclean until evening when you're going in working. He who lies down, if you want to take a nappy nap, shall wash his clothes when you come out of there. He who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and examines it, indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. He shall take to cleanse the house two birds Even this house is inanimate object. Cedar wood, scatter, and hyssop. Then he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall cleanse the house as an animate object with the blood of the bird and a running water, and a living bird with a cedar, wood, hyssop, and a scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house. It shall be clean. You even got to look after your own property. You can't have your family in them kind of house. Now, we got our families in any kind of house, and they ain't trying to do nothing to get it clean. It's a shame. This is law for any leprous sore, scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and scab and a bright spot, to teach. What did I say? Yah wasn't calling us to stand up there and look at each other crazy. To teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. But if you don't know, you don't know. And you need to know. This is the law for you. Praise Yah. And bless his holy name. God, trails to stab Yah. Any more praise comments here?
Oh, praise the Holy One of Israel. You might take a flight from JFK or some airport in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the continent of Africa,
right,
and wind up in a village where you see the village chief or the village priest doing some ceremonial things, and you might think it's witchcraft or voodoo or superstition,
right,
but it seems like we're reading about the same thing right here.
Exactly.
If you walked up on this practice and didn't know what was going on or why it was going on, you'd be totally confused.
Right.
But we can see that there's a spiritual element to all of this. Leprosy in the house and the clothes or on your body. It's not just quarantining yourself and cleaning it up. There's a spiritual element that goes along with it. And those are the practices that we've lost in the Western mindset that we have. We think that science can cure everything.
No, it cannot, Katya. Because the Most High said he brought that plague upon Canaan. And whatever the Most High brought upon anybody, you can't clean it up. On the Most High.
Can y'all
go ahead, brother.
I've been a carpenter for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been into some nasty apartments. Some of my people are nasty.
Yeah. I remember when I used to do cable connections up. I either pick up cable boxes but when it was time morning. Some houses, man, I was full of temperature. I knew they were going to be full of roaches. You're right. Some people just some nasty people, man.
And I won't even describe some of the apartments that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
It will make you puke.
So real talk.
I know people can be nasty, and I know the Canaanites were some pretty nasty people.
Mm-hmm.
They sacrificed their children. They slept with animals. No telling what was inside of their houses.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy. I can imagine. I can imagine.
So there's a distinction between clean and unclean. You already learned there's certain foods you can't eat. You eat that kind of food, it makes you unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Most High is breaking down the spiritual uncleanness because a lot of people don't understand that. It was clean,
exactly.
It was unclean.
Right.
We're learning the spiritual side of what it is to be clean and unclean. A woman in her menstrual cycle, or you having conjugal relationships with your wife. Those are things that make you unclean.
Right. But we're going to find
most people
that
don't
out.
Know that.
Right. We're going to find that out tomorrow. Praise Yah.
Yes.
All these things.
Learn that when a woman has a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's unclean for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Crazy. And we need to know this because we are a very unhealthy people, country.
And you can't approach the Most High in any kind of way, especially in your uncleanness.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to hear you.
Right?
He's not going to hear you.
No. Mm-hmm. So you got sisters going up in church with their menstrual cycles, sisters giving birth to children, going up in church the next day.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're unclean. You can't appear before the Most High. You have to wait.
Right.
And then you have to bring an offering to get back
exactly.
in good graces with him.
Exactly.
But that's all spiritual that they're not teaching the people. So,
they're
like
not,
you say, we do anything and everything and try to approach the Most High. But that's why the Most High doesn't answer us when we pray to him and when we're in the condition that we are.
Right. Because it's some some things you can do for your personal habits are concerned, for the Most High is concerned. There's some things you can do for your houses, your garments are concerned. And the things that you can do, you all do. And I take the Most High word for granted. We not back home. I'm going to go to bed with her. Ooh, she looking good, man. What is wrong with you? You some kind of vampire? You lack blood? What is wrong with you? Your finger broke. And if I was a woman.
But you have relationships.
Yeah.
And you take a shower and you think you're clean for the day. No,
right.
The law says you're clean when the sun goes down. Even though you took
a
shower and everything, you still unclean.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And you can't connect to Yah while you're in a state of uncleanness. So if you're going to continue having a personal relationship with your wife while her body is purifying itself, and you're going to justify that, well, I took a shower right after, you know, the incident, but it's not evening time. It may be fresh in the morning. But Yah's not hearing you during that time frame. You're unclean. And so on and so forth. But we're going to see that as we study further tomorrow, Cartrell. Some things you can do. Some things you can't. And the things you can do in a personal nature, as far as your house is concerned, as far as the garments you wear, as far as your body is concerned, I think you need to exercise that. Praise God. Because not only the spiritual component, it's the health component. And because we're doing anything and everything, we are very unhealthy people, Cartrell.
Yes, sir. And these codes were basically laid down starting with the priests and their families.
Exactly.
So it's not just the onus on the priests. It's the families that they have around them, their wives, their sons, their daughters. They have to know the codes, being that close to the Most High in the realm of the priests, because they're common people. They're human beings.
Right.
And they come unclean. They have conjugal relationships. The priest's wives and the priest's children had to know these codes first and foremost. And the people had to know them too.
Yeah, because daddy wouldn't know what time his daughter's menstrual cycle was, but they were supposed to inform the priest, their father, or the high priest, their uncle, a brother, a cousin, or whatnot. But those men don't know when the menstrual cycles come on. But the women, it's imperative for them to keep their household clean by informing the husband, by informing their daughters, to inform their husband. This is an ongoing situation. But like Yah is calling us to educate us, we have to call each other just not to look at each other. We have to call each other to inform because you won't want that on your hand if you didn't tell your daughter. You can't really have no intimate relationship with your husband. Or me telling my son, no, you shouldn't be having an intimate relationship with your husband. You're spiritually unclean now. And in that time frame, he don't even know what you're talking about. So you should know all the components of it. And there's no denigration on the sister. But it's just this. Yah knows women bodies. He knows men bodies. He knows the imperative that comes from the body. And he's trying to fool boy. You can't do that, man. You don't know what's in blood. Bloodborne passengers that are coming at your wife's system. So Yah is on the other hand looking out for us. So don't get mad at Yah for looking out for you. And like I said, it's not a denigration on sisters because he made all of us. He knows what's healthy in our bodies, what's unhealthy. And it should be incumbent upon us to listen to what he has to say in that regard. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. And it goes to show you that sin, which people misinterpret, will always exist. Because
right.
women will always have menstrual cycles.
Exactly.
Men and women will always have conjugal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to touch stuff, dead bodies that are unclean. When you're unclean, that's a sin. Just because it's a sin that you're unclean, it doesn't mean that you're wicked or evil. It's just that you're not in contact with the Creator.
Right. That's all. That's all it is.
And the sacrifice that people talk about Jesus made for our sins, he can't cover that because it's always going to be sin when we understand what sin is. There's degrees of sin.
Right. Praise y'all, Katria. That was a very informative reservoir of information that we will continue to share with you come tomorrow. The Most High willing, continually. But we've done with that, and we've come to, Sister Avia informed me yesterday we was at 71, so I can only conclude it's Psalms/Psalm 72.
And you would be right.
Thank you. Sister, it says, to lead off of Katria, glory in a universality of Yah's reign. They got the Messiah. I don't know. The glory and universality of Yah's reign. And this is a song of King Solomon, King David's son. So let's listen up as Katria share in these studies. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
Praise Yah.
All praise the Holy One of Israel. Our Holy One of Israel, God of Isaac and Jacob, and our kings, both King David and King Solomon, King David's son.
Mm-hmm.
The psalm is one of the most interesting psalms in the Book of Psalms because it says it was written by King Solomon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this psalm, you will see that King Solomon is not talking about himself. He's talking about his father,
mm-hmm.
King David.
Exactly.
So, all praise to the Lord when you show up. Psalm 72
praise.
By King Solomon.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Elohim, give the king your justice. He didn't say, give me your justice, even though Solomon was the king, right? He said, give the king. What king are you talking about, King Solomon? Your righteousness to the royal son. Who's the royal son? He answered.
King Solomon.
King Solomon and his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And King Solomon and his brothers' descendants. Those are the royal sons.
Mm-hmm.
He, who is he talking about, will judge your people with righteousness. He ain't talking about himself. He's talking about
mm-hmm.
his father. And your poor with justice. The mountain shall bring prosperity to the people. The hills bring the fruit of righteousness. He, who is he talking about? His father will judge the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break the oppressor in pieces. They shall fear you while the sun endures, as long as the moon throughout all generations. Who shall we fear? The Most High Yah. He will come down like rain on the mown grass as showers that water the earth. Talking about the Most High. In his day, the righteous shall flourish. Talk about the king again. An abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. That hasn't happened yet. That's a prophecy that's yet to come to pass.
Exactly.
Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the islands will bring tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Is he talking about himself or are you talking about his father?
King Dawg.
He will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor who has no helper. He will have pity on the poor and needy. He will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their souls from oppression and violence. Their blood will be precious in his sight. They shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Men shall pray for him continually. They shall bless him all day long. Abundance of grain shall be throughout the land. Its fruit sway like Lebanon. Let it flourish, thriving like the grass of the field. His name endures forever. Who's he talking about? His name continues as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed by him. All nations shall call him blessed. We're talking about King David. And what King David left behind in the songs that he wrote was just an inkling of what the man really was, which is why the Most High said, this is a man after my own heart. His throne shall endure forever. Praise be to Yah Elohim, the Elohim of Yisrael, who alone does marvelous deeds. He's not giving credit to King David. No, Yah deserves all glory and credit for the marvelous deeds that he does. And he uses men like King David and Moshe and all the prophets and all the great men that he's used as his tools. Blessed be his glorious name forever. We're talking about Yah. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And it says, this ends the prayers by King David, the son of Yishai. Wow.
Great.
They attribute the prayer to King David. But it's about King David.
Right.
It's not by King David. It's about King David, the son of Yishai. So this is how I throw that little twist in there.
Right.
They, you know, throw that interpretation of ancient Hebrew.
Exactly. Praise Yah. Well, thank you, Kasha.
So how can it start if this is a song by King Solomon and end? This ends the prayers by King David. Got to be one or the other, right?
One or the other. Praise Yah, Kasha.
Praise Yah.
Thank you, Kasha, for your studies. I think it was self-explanatory. If you study and you're not stupid, these studies are self-explanatory. We need no expound upon them, but what you need to do is do your part. Don't rely on us. You go over these studies, you meditate on these studies. You ask the Most High for wisdom and understanding and cherish it so you can make the right application, so you can know what is good and bad or something that is tampered with by our enemies. Praise Yah and bless the Holy Name. Thank you, Cartrell. Cartrell, so Savia, any last comments or studies, commentary?
No, not at all. Like you said, it's self-explanatory itself.
Exactly.
And the beauty in it being self-explanatory, it's like we ain't got to go into the desert of Egypt, into Gaza Strip, like the archaeologists do to find truth. We find truth and jewels just by reading what's been already there. And unfortunately, most of our people don't read the treasure that's here because it's a real treasure that we're uncovering. All praise to the Most High. Love y'all. Stay with us. More treasures to be unfolded. Praise y'all.
As my brother and my sister said, hallelujah, and we love you. We certainly do. And may the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you, I'm not a capitalist, and I'm not a communist, I'm not a socialist, I'm not the politics, tell me at least the reasons you can't live right, I am a human. long. Still a reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Yes, I am a child like her. And when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier. I'm not a jihadist. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a what? I am a who? I'm not black. And I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human. Haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I